I want you to turn to Acts chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, get next to somebody that does, would you? Because I want you to look into the Word. All right, you ready? Are you in Acts chapter 10? We're going to talk about knowing God's will. But you're going to maybe hear it a little different than what you've heard before. How many of you like boring? I'm sorry, I didn't see that hand. How many of you like boring? How many of you like adventure? You normally don't find that in your living room, okay? It normally doesn't happen that way. We want everything just to be easy, you know, and we want God to just show up and entertain us. But I want you to understand, God's not in the entertainment business, okay? He doesn't live in Hollywood, okay? I mean, maybe it was called Hollywood, but it's not, okay? And that's not what He's about, is entertaining us. But we have, see, when I met Jesus, my life's been an adventure ever since. And that was 34 years ago. And a lot of times when I tell my stories, now some of y'all, because you're here all the time, you hear the same stories a lot of times over and over again. I don't even know who I tell the stories to. And some of y'all go, I've already heard this. I can tell it. My wife and daughter, when I preached around America, I would be preaching and I would look at them and their mouths would be moving in sync with what I was saying because they had heard it so many times. That's what an evangelist does, is he'll tell the same stuff over and over again, okay? But what I'm saying is most people are not bored when I speak because I'm not, when I'm talking about the things that have happened in my life, there's a lot of adventure. But for there to be adventure, there's got to be change. We want things to always be the same. We want to live in a comfort zone. It doesn't work like that. Okay? It really doesn't. If you do that, that's boring. At least to me, it is. I like adventure. I like meeting new people. Now, some of y'all, like my wife, does not like meeting new people. She would rather just, you know, she's like a quiet, you know, just few people person. Okay? Me, I like meeting new people all the time. I love it. Okay? I want you to, we're going to talk about knowing God's will, but I want you to see what happens here in a couple of chapters. Okay? Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea, that's a city, called Cornelius, that's the guy's name, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. This man was not a Jew. This man was a Gentile, like you and I. Anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. Okay? One more time. He wasn't a guitar player in a band. Cornelius. He says he was a centurion. That means he was over 100 soldiers in the Roman army. Okay? But it was called the Italian Band. Yeah, it wasn't a band, like as you and I understand it. It was a band of men, okay? But they just had a nickname. He was a devout man and one that feared God. Is this a little loud? Okay, just want to make sure. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, in the Jewish calendar that would be 3 p.m. So 3 p.m. he sees a vision of an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius, called him by name. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? He called this angel Lord. And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, another city, and call for one Simon, whose surname or whose last name is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel, which spake unto Cornelius, was departed, he called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now, just so we've got the story correct, we've got this guy who's over 100 soldiers. So in our army, he'd be like a captain or something, okay? He's got 100 soldiers under him. But this guy is a devout man. He's after God. And he's praying, it's 3 p.m, okay? And he's having his devotions, he's praying, he's talking, he's seeking God, and an angel shows up, okay? And this angel tells him, look, what you're praying, what you're doing is come up. God's taking notice of it. And what I want you to do, what God wants you to do, is to send for a man that's in another city. Let's say Hudsonville or something, okay? Okay? And I want you to send men over to Hudsonville. Maybe it's a little further than that, probably. But let's just say. And go to Muskegon. And there's a guy over there. And his name is Peter, Simon Peter. And he's got words that you need to hear. So he got a couple of his soldiers together and said, "Hey, guys, here's the scoop." And he tells it to them and says, go get Peter and bring him here. Okay? Are we up to snuff? Yep. Okay. Here we go. Let's keep reading. Where were we? Verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That's noon. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Now he's up on the roof, and all of a sudden he hears these guys talking down at the gate outside of the wall of the house, okay? And called and asked whether Simon, these men are standing up there, and they called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men which were come unto him from Cornelius and said, "Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? Why are ye here?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feared God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa, from Muskegon, accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, Grand Rapids. And Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends, his family and close friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, this leader of 100 men in the Roman army, and he fell down at Peter's feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, without having to say words again, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me." And Cornelius said, "Four days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Muskegon, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore Are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, or of the dead and of the living. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, through the name of Jesus, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission, forgiveness, removal of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, those Jews that were with Peter, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. We're going to read chapter 11, 1 through 18. But all of this was just to get us to this place, because we're setting the scene of what happened. Here's this man of God, and he is praying. He is seeking God's face. Do you know what praying is? If you had to put prayer in one word, do you know what it is? Believe? Okay. What else? I'm sorry? Communication, good. What else? What is prayer? Relationship, very good. The man who just got married. Relationship, good. What else? Congratulations, glad to see you. Petition, that's exactly right. What else? All these things are good. You know what prayer is? Do you have any idea? Conversation. Very good. Very good. Prayer is all these things. Everything that you said. Prayer is asking. Prayer is spending time together. In Shakespeare's time, they would say words like, I pray you, or I'm asking you. I pray you, hear me. Meaning, I'm asking you to hear me. Okay? Prayer, here's this guy praying, okay? He doesn't even know God yet. See, this is Acts chapter 10. My favorite people in the world to talk to about God, besides people that love God, are what I call Acts chapter 10 people. I always say my favorite people to talk to are Acts chapter 10 people. Acts chapter 10 people are like this guy Cornelius. Here's this guy who didn't know God. Well, Harvey, what do you mean he didn't know God? He was praying, he was giving his money, because he was walking in the light that he had. He was doing everything that he knew to do, because he was after God. What he knew of God, he believed. He believed God was there, and he was seeking him. He was after God. He talked to him all the time. The Bible says he prayed always. Means he prayed all the time. He talked to God all the time. And yet, he didn't even know God yet. How do you know? I'm glad you asked. In the beginning of that chapter, it says that when an angel showed up, he called him Lord. And if he already knew him, God would not have told him, You need to have somebody come and tell you what you need to do, which was salvation. Okay? See, you can know about God, but do you know God? You can know about Him, but when you meet Him, it's completely different. There's a guy in this room that was coming here for about a year, hearing about God, seeing God in this place, recognizing God was in this place, but he didn't know God. And just not long ago, a month ago, 2 months ago, he ended up meeting God after coming here for a year. We want salvation to be something real quick and easy, just pray a little prayer and now everything's okay. But there's no change in somebody's life. See, God is after a real, as different ones of you said, He's after communication. He's after relationship. God is about us knowing Him. He wants to be our God. What is number one in our life? The one we're depending on. The one that we're trusting in. He wants us to know Him that way. He wants us to be His people. He says, I want you so much that I want you to know me as Abba Father, Daddy God, our Father. The Lord teaches us to pray after this manner. Therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, holy be thy name. See, He wants a real relationship with us. And here's this guy who didn't even know Him yet, but he was seeking after Him. And he was walking in the light that he had. He was doing what he knew to do. He was praying. He was giving, because God's about giving. And as God moved on his heart, and he realized, hey, it's wrong to be selfish. It's wrong to hold back. It's wrong for me to judge. So this guy wasn't doing that. And he had a good report among not only his men that he oversaw as a leader, but in the whole nation of the Jews, they knew him even though he wasn't a Jew. And he was trying to live because he believed in this God of the Jews. And yet he wasn't even a Jew. But he was after Him because God was drawing him. But this guy was walking in the light he had. He prayed. I know my wife. I talk to her all the time. And she talks to me all the time. She may not talk as much to you as she talks to me. But boy, she talks my ear off. I know her and she knows me. We commune. Do you talk to God? See, I want you to know that God loves you. Have you ever heard us say that? Have you ever heard that before? God loves you. But you see, you take that and you hear it, but then how does that move you? How does that change you? Do you really believe it? Because you see, so often we've all experienced rejection, hurt, pain. The hardest thing you ever do is what's called relationship. The hardest thing you'll ever do is what's called relationship. Most marriages in America don't make it. They end in the D word. I hate that word. And a lot of them that haven't even gone there yet, they're not making it. They don't have good relationship. You watch them when they're driving down the road. They don't sit near one another. They keep trying to get a bigger car so they can sit further apart. They don't touch. They don't commune. Now, I'm not saying when you come here, if you're married, like paw over each other. But I'm simply saying to you that God is about a relationship. And God wants us to know one another, to spend time talking to one another. That's how we get to know. The number one cause of divorce is lack of communication. Do you know that? I'm sorry. Could I just see a head if you guys can't hear you? Anybody got that? Oh, okay. Are you with me? Oh, you're not into communicating? Okay, well, we'll fix that. Okay. I want you to see, here's a guy who doesn't even know God, but he's talking to God all the time. Because he believes he's there and he's after God. He's after God. Are you after God? Do you believe in Him? Do you believe He's there? Do you believe He cares about you? Do you talk to Him? See, you don't have to say everything exactly right. All you need to do is talk to Him. Communicate what's going on inside. You may need to just tell Him that everything's not going good, and maybe you're not going to say it in the nicest of ways. But He wants you to be honest with Him. He wants you to communicate with Him because He wants to communicate with you because He wants a relationship. Here's a guy, and he is praying. He's looking for God. He's seeking after God. Because of that, God shows up. And when God shows up, he sends a messenger. The messenger goes and says, there's somebody you need to listen to. Because God puts people in our lives that we need to hear. He puts people when we're looking for truth. And sometimes when we're not looking, a lot of times when we're not looking for truth, He puts somebody in our life. Because He wants to communicate to us. So here's Peter. He's a man that did know God. And he's praying. He's up there and he's talking to God. What's going on? He's bringing his life to Him and he's asking Him, what are you up to? What would you like to say? And then God shows up and gives him a vision. And we could go on and talk about this whole chapter, but I want to talk about chapter 11. I just want you to see this whole context of what happened. When God put these two men together, a number of people came to know God in a personal way. And it publicly affected their lives. Publicly affected their lives. But it messed with the people that came with Peter. They said, wait a minute. He's our God. He's the God of the Jews. We're in His club. Those Gentiles, those people that aren't Jews, they're not. This is our God. Selfish little guys, you know. They want to just keep God to themselves. See, I don't want to keep God to myself. I want everybody to know Him. But these Jews, they wanted to keep God to Himself. That's what Peter meant when he said, do you know that it's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company with one of another nation? It was unlawful according to the Jews. Not like it was against the law, but it was against their laws. Their limited thinking. But when this man who was seeking God said, I want to send you on an adventure. But it's going to look different than what you're thinking. It's not going to look like what you're thinking. And Peter's like, well, wait a minute. I don't get it all. And he goes through this whole vision. See, a vision is when God shows up. God appears. And that's what happened. But God starts telling him something that colored outside his comfort zone. Colored outside what he thought he understood. Well, I've got this all figured out. I've been with God for many years. I know all kinds of stuff. But there's things we don't know. God's got all kinds of things He wants us to know. Do you want to go on an adventure with God? Because if you do, it's probably going to look different than what you think. It's probably going to color outside your comfort zone. You're probably not going to understand it all here. But do you want to walk with God? Do you want to be in on what God's doing? I'm asking you. God has a plan for your life. But right now, you may be saying, I don't even understand what's going on in my life right now. Would you like to understand what's going on in your life right now? Well, we're going to see seven principles in Acts chapter 11 about how to know the will of God. You ready? Acts chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. That means they opposed him, saying, Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me, upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. 7-point outline. If you want to mark in your Bible, you can mark in your Bible. If you want to write these words down, you can. I'm going to give you a 7-point outline, and then I'm going to go back through it. Are you ready? Verse 5. How do you know God's will? Verse 5. I was praying. Verse 6. I considered. Verse 7. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Verse 11. Immediately there were where I was. Verse 12. And the Spirit bade me go, nothing doubting. Verse 15. On them as on us. Verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord. I'm sorry. Where are you? 11. Okay, I'll start over. You ready? I'm going back over these guys, and you'll be able to write them all down. I just want to give you the 7-point outline, okay? Okay, no problem. Verse 6, I considered. Verse 7, I heard a voice. Verse 11. Nope, not verse 8. Okay, let's start over. Verse 5, I was praying. Verse 6, I considered. Verse 7, I heard a voice. Actually, I heard a voice saying unto me. Verse 11 is number 4. Immediately there were where I was. Verse 12, number 5. And the Spirit bade me go, nothing doubting. Verse 15. I was just seeing pens still moving, so I was waiting. Okay. Verse 15. On them as on us. Verse 16, number 7. Then remembered I the word of the Lord. How do you know God's will? Number 1, I was praying. I was seeking God. I was communing with Him. I was hanging out with God. I wanted to know. I was bringing him everything in my life and laying it down before him. I was praying, but I was also seeking answers from him. I was praying. I saw a vision. You see, God is here all the time. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. My son, thou art ever with me. God is here all the time, but we're not aware of God's presence. Tana was talking earlier, and she said, she was talking about, whatever, I don't know. All of a sudden that threw me for a loop, that whole response here. Let's see, in Psalm 32, you see, God is right here, but we think when we sin, God leaves us. God doesn't leave us. When you sin, did your parents leave you? They may have, but God doesn't. When you sin, people may leave you, but God doesn't. If you don't get that, wait a minute. Well, if you don't get that, you'll never go forward with God. You will not have a good Christian life if you don't get that. God never leaves you. Is that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. You write it down. Luke 15:31, Hebrews 13:5. I've got more, but I'm just going to give you those two. Hebrews 13:5. Ready? Five? Ready? Ready? Hold your hand up. Everybody hold your hand up. And take your other hand, point at the fingers. You ready? Jesus will never leave me. You got a hand? You can remember it. It's easy. Jesus will never leave me. That's Hebrews 13:5. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see, God doesn't love us because we're good. Because there is none good, no, not one. God loves us. Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. But hey, check it out. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, but it makes him very sad. You see, he loves us. It's not based on what we do. But when you think it's based on what you do, then you think he leaves you all the time. And then I go to talk to you, or somebody else goes to talk to you about God, and you feel all ashamed. You look down. You won't look us in the eye. Talk to you about praying or whatever, and you have all these insecure thoughts. Because you don't know that you're unconditionally loved and accepted. We haven't been his life. But since he came here, I think one thing that he's got a little taste of is he's unconditionally loved and accepted. We've reached out to him. We're not just trying to give words. Oh, I love you. I have a warm little heart for you like my chihuahua. You know, it's like we've let it affect our life and given something to him. Do you understand? Have you felt that since meeting us? I'm sorry, I just can't hear you. Since you met us, did you pick up on that a little bit? Yeah. Did you pick up on that a little bit? Have you picked up on that a little bit? That you're loved and accepted around here? And it's not based on when you're just always doing right, is it? It's not because we're good. It's because we own that truth. We own that truth. When you own that truth, you can give it away. When you own a truth, you can give it away. Before you own it, and I mean it's real inside of here, not just something you know up here. See, a lot of times you need to get this too, because I'm going to mess with you today. Okay, I guess. That's what I didn't think it was what I was going to do. I thought it was just going to be a blessing. But I'm going to mess with you a little bit. As if it was anything different than normal. All right, are you ready? When God has me say stuff over and over and over again, it's not because I think you're dumb. It's because you may get it here, but I don't even know. If God keeps moving on me to say something over and over again to you, if you keep hearing the same thing, even from different sources in your life, and you keep hearing the same thing over and over and over, and you keep going, nope, and you argue with it, you justify, and you're not listening yet. God cares about you so much, he's going to get annoying. And he's just going to keep saying the same thing until you get it. And if you need to spend 40 more years hearing the same thing and wondering why your life is like it is, it's because you ain't got it yet. So when God has me say the same things over and over and over, it's not because I don't know anything else. It's because God is wanting to get it inside of you, planted, rooted, so that it will grow in you. That truth will bring forth fruit. That truth will be rooted and grounded in love and will produce fruit inside of you. Love for God, love for others, victory in your own life. We hear things and you think, I already know that. I have heard that from so many of you so many times. I already know that. And sometimes maybe you've heard me say, where is it in your life? Just because you know it in your head doesn't mean you own it. You know it in your head, but have you even received it into your heart? Because until you receive it into your heart, God can't take that and begin to de-weed and cut through with the Word of God to remove all the rubbish and all the foliage, all the stuff that's in the way, so that it can have a place to grow and bring forth fruit unto the glory of Jesus Christ. Peter was praying. He was seeking God. He was talking to God. He was hanging out with God. Because he knew through the blood of Jesus, he was forgiven. He had a real relationship with God. Peter had messed up big times. Of all the disciples, he had messed up the most. He had the one who had even, not just him own self messing up, but he had caused the other, him own self, whatever. He had caused the other disciples to be drawn away from God. I go a fishing, and they all followed him because he was the leader. He had caused the others to backslide. But Peter now knew he was accepted with God. His sin was forgiven. Do you ever mess up? Do you sin? Do you do it like once a week maybe? Or like, do you do it sometimes every few days or maybe every day? How about every hour? How about maybe like more often than every hour? How about like, that's me? You see, I needed Jesus to die for me. Did you need him to die for you? Then when we go to worship, why don't you remember that and stand up and just say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you for paying for my sin. Thank you for making it possible for me to have peace with God. Thank you for allowing me to be one of your children, though I'm not worthy of it. See, that's what worship is about. Worshiping Him, focusing on truth. If you focus on the truth, it'll make it, it'll bust out in you. It will. He was praying. He was seeking God. He saw in a vision. God showed up. He appeared. He revealed Himself. He communicated with Peter through a picture. God does that with a lot of you in this place. He's done that with probably all of us to some degree. It says, it came even unto me in verse 5. I was praying, I saw a vision, and it came even unto me. Why? Because God put the cookies on the bottom shelf. You see, I'll ask, if I was to ask you, do you know God's will for your life? Many of you have said, I don't know what God's will is, I don't know what God wants. Would you pray about this with me? I had this thought, but I'm not sure. Blah, blah, blah. This is happening. I'm thinking this. I'm thinking that. I don't know. I'm doing this, but this is the way things are going in my life. I don't know what God's will is for my life. Number one, you seek God because He cares. He is your daddy. He cares about you, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. He loves you and He cares. But if I was to ask you right now, because this is what Sue and I like to do a lot. When we're talking with somebody, we're asking them what, you know, they're saying, well, I don't know what God's will is, and this is what's happening in my life. And I heard Sue say this one time, and I've never forgot it. And she said to me, if you had to guess, what do you think God is saying? Well, I think he's saying this, but, and that's what most of us do. We've got a big, I don't even say that word in my house. I told my kids it was a cuss word. We don't even use that word. Okay? But that's what we do with God all the time. We get in His way. If you had to guess what God wants for your life, what do you think? Well, I think He wants this, but... Well, I think I ought to do this, but... Well, I think what He said was, but... Well, what somebody said to me, but... When He's the Lord of our life, we remove the bottom. When He's the Lord of our life, Jesus said, hey, I don't want to go through what I have to go through for Harvey. I don't want to become a drug dealer for him. I don't want to take on and become guilty as if I was Harvey. Nevertheless, not my will. See, it was nevertheless, not but. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What do you want, Father? Well, I need you to die for Harvey, or Harvey has to die. And Jesus said, I'll do that. Because he's worth it to me. You see, you are worth the blood of Jesus to the Father. Do you know that? Do you know that? I'm so glad. Somebody just needs to hear that. You are worth the blood of Jesus to the Father. He was praying. He saw a vision. It came unto him. And then he said in verse 6, upon the which, or in other words, when I focused on this vision, when I fastened my eyes, you see, we have to pay attention. God's trying to talk to us, but everything we do comes out of either pride or humility. Humility says, I already know. Humility says, I may know, I may think I know, but I'm open. Do you understand? We need to be open. I know a lot of things. I made straight A's in college. I made almost straight A's in high school. I didn't even try. I know a lot of things. But a lot of things I know get in God's way. Do you understand? Who is the Lord of my life? Who is the Lord of your life? We can say He's our Lord, but only if He's in control. And that means you find out if He's in control when He tells you to do something, or He's trying to tell you to do something, and you submit, whether you agree or like it or not. Father, let this cup pass from me. No, no, I need you to go to the cross and die for that rascal named Harvey. No, that don't make sense. That guy? Nah. See what I'm saying? It's not what makes sense. It's not what we want. It's what He says. Can you say these words, not my will, but thine? Not my will, but thine. Not my way, but your way. How do we know God's will? Number one, He was praying. Verse 6, He considered. God gave him a vision. God begins to give him a picture. God begins to speak to him. And it says he considered. When he stopped and considered, it was like Moses when he turned aside to see the burning bush. It says when he turned aside, then God began to speak to him. Well, that's what happened here. He was giving him a vision and he stopped because he was seeking God. God is faithful. God shows up. God's not trying to hide from you. He doesn't like playing peekaboo all the time. That's not what God's doing. He wants to have a real relationship. All we got to do, and keep it simple. All you got to do is talk to Him. Talk to them about what's going on. Spend time in here. God's Word, that means He's talking to us. We need to spend time and listen to what He has to say. I considered, because Peter paid attention, God gave him more. God expanded the vision. In Luke 19:17, here's what Jesus said. And He said unto him, "Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities." You see, Peter paid attention, and God gave him more. He had already seen a vision. Now God's going to start talking to him. In verse 7, "And I heard a voice saying unto me." I heard a voice saying unto me. I'm a drug dealer. You've heard the story, but hear it in context to what I'm saying. I'm a drug dealer. I'm smoking a joint, reading the red print of the New Testament. And I read a verse that says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And while I'm reading that verse, I hear a voice say, "I'm unsaved." This is Wednesday, June 30th, 1976. And I hear a voice say, "Father, forgive Harvey, for he knows not what he does." And it broke my heart. And that's what drove me the next day to go door to door for 5 hours asking somebody to get me to Jesus. Because I moved, God was drawing me. And as I read His Word and he was opening things up to me as I'm reading, but all of a sudden I hear a voice because God wants to personalize it, because God is about a real personal relationship with you, knows right where you're sitting, knows right what you need. Write what you need for your very present circumstances. Everything in your life, whatever age you are, whatever marital status you are, God knows right where you are and knows exactly what you need. And He is your answer. And He's got your answer. You'll pace at home. You can't sleep at home. You flop like a fish in bed, worrying. But God's not up in heaven wringing His hands. God's not up in heaven pacing back and forth. God knows. Pray. He'll talk to you. Open up this and let Him talk to you. Peter heard a voice. Father spoke directly to him. You. Father spoke directly to you. John 10:3. I'm just going to read this. I want you to hear this. Maybe you've heard it before, but see if you could hear it this time. John 10:3. To him the porter, the gatekeeper, opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. The sheep, I just wanted to be a sheep. Bah, bah, bah. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. He knows your name. I was praying, I considered, I heard a voice. In Proverbs 3:5, because in verse 8 it says, But Peter said, "Not so, Lord." God told him something, and he goes, "Not so, Lord." Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord, lean on the Lord, depend on the Lord, and not on your own understanding. Well, I know. Father is giving him more light. We have to be willing to let go of what we think, what we already know, to get the new that Father Jesus is trying to give us to lead us into. If I told you something was getting ready to happen here at Burning Bush, an adventure, but if I told you what it was right now, some of you would go into worry mode. You wouldn't even be able to hear anything else I said. Some of you would be going into trying to figure all this out. You'd be all caught up in it. God's getting ready to do something here that you will see within the next few weeks. You'll hear about it before that. And when this adventure happens, how are you going to enter into it? How are you going to enter into it? You need to start off by praying. You need to start off by depending on God. You need to start off by putting your focus on God. See, I've told all these stories about all these people I've led, Lord, and hit men, and people sticking guns in my face, and all these stories. Everybody's like, oh, they like to hear all these wonderful stories and how we didn't know where we were going to get our next meal. And at 10 o'clock at night, I take my wife by the hand as we're laying in bed. And there's not even a store open in this little bitty town where we live. And we go, oh, God, we forgot. In the morning, we've got little baby and that needs milk and whatever, all the other stuff those little guys need. And my wife lists out about a few things. And she says, we need about $20 more. And I take her by the hand and I said, as she tells me, as we're laying in bed, there's not even a store open in our town. And we had no money, by the way. It wouldn't matter if there was. You understand? No? It means none. Okay? And I took her by the hand, and I said, Lord, we need this, we need this, and we need this. Because Sue named three things. And I said, and besides that, we need $20 to meet the need. And while I'm praying, that's what happened in this. While he was praying, hark, and I got up and I went to the door, and when I opened the door, hanging on the door in a bag was those three things specifically that Sue named, not four things, not two things, the three things that Sue named with a $20 bill in the bag. Now, what I'm going to say to you is, oh, that's neat. Oh, that's wonderful. Uh-huh. How would you like it to happen to you? Oh, I wish God showed up and all of a sudden I got a car and I wasn't expecting it. All of a sudden my house payment was made and I didn't know how it was going to happen. Or I got a house given to me. Or whatever the miracle you need. You see, God is way bigger than what you and I think. We think we carry God around in our little pocket. Do you understand God carries this whole world in His hand? We're getting ready to have an adventure. Do you know what God's will is? I was praying. I considered. I heard a voice saying unto me, verse 11, immediately there were where I was. Look at verse 11. And behold, you know, all this vision's happening. And behold, immediately there were three men already coming to the house where I was sent. Where I was. It all, circumstances came together. But it wasn't because Peter had it figured out. It wasn't because Peter understood it, but this doesn't make sense to me. Well, can we just do what God says? Or does it got to make sense? Can we submit to His way? Does He care for you? Does He love you? Does He know your needs? Do you think He needs to get a job to pay for them? Or do you think He's got it covered? I want to know God's will. Immediately there were where I was. God brought circumstances together beyond what I understood, beyond what I could do. See, God is bigger than you, and He can meet your needs. He wants to meet your needs. But He wants you to depend on Him, not on yourself. I have been very successful in a lot of jobs. And then God brought me to a place and said, okay, Harv, I'm going to make it so no matter what you do, it doesn't work. Has anybody else in here could relate to that? Just do me a favor. Now, what are you going to do when you get to that place? You think, but I know how to do this. And God says, that's not what I want you to do. I have something else I want you to do. And you're going, but I'm going to try. And God just says, okay, let me know how it works out for you. I'm right here when you're done. Are you tired now? You've gone deeper in the hole. Do I have your attention yet? And when we take our hands off and say, okay, God, what do you want? He says, I want you to do this. I said, and we always say, I don't want to do that. I'm just telling you the next words in the story are, I don't want to do that. That's it. It's always that. That's always the next phrase. I don't want to do that. And his answer is, so? Okay. What does that mean? Does that have anything to do with what I'm doing? What you want? Because God knows what's best. God is not about making us happy. He's about making us like Him. God is seeking to develop your character. God is breaking you and me. Because when we're not broken, we're going around, and you know what's beaming out of us? Pride. Self-confidence, ego, know-it-all, judgment. That's what's coming off of us, pride. When we get broken, and you got a bunch of cracks and holes in you, guess what? God in you, that light is able to be seen. Because now we know we can't do it. But as long as we think we can, we won't depend on Him. And He wants us to depend on Him. And when we depend on Him, He shows up in such huge ways. I don't like it when I hear people saying God shows off or however they say it. I don't think He shows off, but He does show up. And when He shows up, maybe it seems like He's showing off because everything is like all glorious and it's like, oh, everybody just kind of goes, oh, because it's God. You can't explain it any other way. Maybe that's what they mean by He shows off. But I don't like the idea He shows off. Because He's not showing off. He just shows up. He's so incredible. It's glorious. And what He does, everybody knows He did it. And then He gets the glory. Do you understand? Immediately there were where I was. Peter couldn't make this happen. Peter just gets this vision from God. He scratches his head. I don't get this. And God's like, it's okay, I got it. And meanwhile, back on the ranch, he's working with Cornelius. And Cornelius sends three of his compadres, and they come in on their trusty steeds up to Peter, and they're at the gate. And they said, Marshall Dillon. No, that was another story. They said, hey, we're looking for Peter. And he goes, yo, here I am. I'm up here just praying, trying to figure out what he's talking about again. And immediately there were where I was. God brought the circumstances together. Peter would not have gone and spent time with Gentiles. Because in his thinking, the way he was raised, it was unlawful. That's how strong it was. It was unlawful for him to keep company or to hang out with anybody of another nation. Verse 12, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. That word bade is what we would say bid, just another tense of the word. Bid or ask him or compelled him. And the Spirit bid him go with them, nothing doubting. Colossians 3:15. Please look there. Colossians 3:15. When you find that, go to Romans 14:23. And when you find that, go to 1 Corinthians 14:33. Are you there? Okay. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Are you there? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 3:15. Hold your place. Go to Romans 14:23, the last verse of Romans 14, which is right before 1 Corinthians and right after the book of Acts. Romans 14:23. And then the next book is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Probably every one of you, or almost every one of you in this room, have heard me talk about this, but I'm going to share it with you again. It's something that Sue and I live by every minute of every day, these three verses. Are you ready? Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. How many of you like worrying? How many of you like fretting? Yep. Like to not sleep, you know, trying to figure stuff out. Then don't do what this verse says. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Turn over to, hold your place there, but turn over to Romans 14:23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He that doubteth is damned if he eat. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What is that saying? I'm glad you asked. It goes in this little phrase. You ready? When in doubt, don't. Have you ever gone to go into a deal or you're dealing with somebody? Let's say it's a deal. Cecil and I went looking for a car recently. And we looked at, I don't know, 15, 20 cars that day. I don't know how many. And there was cars that we looked at and we said, everything seems good, but something doesn't feel right. And we would just like mark it off the list. We'd pray and say, God, is this you? And it was like we didn't have peace. So we just marked it off the list. We had doubt. It seems right, but something's just not right. When in doubt, don't. Have you ever went to enter into a deal and you thought, man, it's just like too good to be true? We had one guy that we saw it on Craigslist. Here's this car and it's such and such and such and such. And he's like, oh, I think I would like that car. And it's like, so we're going to go look at that thing. And the guy's like, I call him up. And he's like, it's only good through this weekend because I just got it on trade, and it's only good this weekend, and on Monday I'm sending it to the, whatever you call those people, what do you call it, the auction. So you got to make a deal real quick. Time out. Anytime I'm pushed to be in a hurry, the answer is no. Because I'm going to let the peace rule in me. I'm not going to be motivated by the almighty dollar, like just letting that rule inside of me. Do you understand? Let the peace of God rule in your heart. When in doubt, don't. 1 Corinthians, okay, you can let go of Romans and go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, but we're going to come back to Colossians in a minute. 1 Corinthians 14 says, verse 33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of God. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. You ever trying to figure something out and you're all getting all confused and all worried, and or you're talking to somebody or they're talking to you, and the way they're talking to you is like I mean, they make it sound like that. It's not God. They need to calm down. God is a God of peace, not a God of confusion. And when you got confusion and you're not sure, don't do it. Don't move. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter if everybody else is saying yes. You don't have peace, you don't move. Colossians 3:15 is what you need to get inside of you every day, every minute of every day. You like to live in peace, right? You like to have peace, have your spirit be calm, feel good about what you're doing, not have stress, anxiety. You like to be able to sleep at night. It's called rest. Some of you get sleep, but you don't get rest. Because rest is your body being able to rejuvenate, recuperate, restore, replenish itself. Let, Colossians 3:15a, let the peace of God rule in your life. Anything that tries to take away your peace, stop. Go back to your peace. Anything that's trying to take away the peace, why is it taking away my peace? Because it's trying to get me, there's a verse that says, trust not in oppression. We have bad things happen in our life. We have bad things happening all around us. When I was focusing on who was getting voted in as president, I was losing my peace. But when I realized God is still in control, no matter who's sitting in the White House, I came back to peace. But I had to get my focus back on God and off of who was coming into the White House. Do you understand? Is anybody getting any of this? This is going to help you. I promise. Because I'm about your life. I'm not about entertaining you, as you know. Though you may have some laughs, whatever. But I want to help you with your life. I want you to know God's will for your life. Because if you know it's God's will, God brought us to Grand Rapids. God had me preaching at this church. For a year He'd been telling me we were going to go to move to another church. He brings us to Grand Rapids. He has me preach here for a week. And the first night, God says, this is the church I want you to join. I knew it beyond any shadow of a doubt. He confirmed it two more times. My wife did not want to move here. So we went and prayed and fasted. I've told you the story. And I had peace. I knew this is what God wanted. And when she came to peace and said, okay, I know it's what God wants too, but now I'm willing to give Him what He wants. When we came and joined that church and all hell broke loose and all kinds of bad things started happening in a church, Sue said, oh, let's run. They changed their words. They're not doing what they said. They're lying. They're this, they're that. And I said, did we come here because they asked us to come here, or did we come here because God told us? Well, God told us, but look what they're doing. I said, do you think it took God by surprise? God knew what they were going to do. And this is part of the recipe for our life. God put us here because there's something God's wanting to do in our life. Hear this little phrase. You ready? God knows your name, address, and phone number. When He wants you to move, He'll let you know. God knows your name, address, and phone number. When He wants to get your attention, He'll let you know. And until then, you move on the last marching orders He gave you. Are you hearing me? That will make you solid. I am about making you solid. I was praying. I saw a vision. It even came to me. I considered. I thought about it. I heard a voice saying unto me, it was the Holy Spirit talking. And He was saying it unto me. And then He confirmed it. The voice answered me again. Verse 9. Verse 11. Immediately there were, where I was, circumstances came together. Because I yielded to God's will, not try to get God to yield to mine. When you pray, it's not, God is not a genie. He's not a magic cross, and you rub your little cross, and now He's going to do what you want. praying is you talking to Him. You sitting down and you talking to God. God, here's what I'm thinking. You know, I got all these burdens. I got all these needs. Can I give them to You? And He goes, sure. And He puts His hands out. And I give Him all my stuff. And He takes it and says, now, will You let Me take care of You, son? I go, sure. So now I'm all got my peace again. And I said, so, Father, you know, like, what do You want? And He says, well, let me tell you. And then when He starts talking, it's usually not what I'm thinking. He's usually got this whole other idea, like He's God or something, you know? And like He's got all these other things in store for me. And I'm going, but Lord. And He's going, but what? I'm telling you what the truth is. I'm telling you what I want. And He says, and I'm not going to change. But I'll wait as long as you need. But it's not part of the outline, but it's key, and that is the voice answered me again from heaven, because God always confirms things. When you hear something and you're thinking God is telling you something, we teach, and I didn't go over the verses today, but we teach about witnesses, about bearing witness. If you want to look that up, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Where it says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Yeah, he repeats himself. Not because he's got a stutter problem, because we're slow learners and we need to hear it over and over and over again. Right? All right. I've been picking this up. I'm really glad I'm getting it, you know? It's pretty cool. So knowing God's will, and immediately circumstances came together. And then the Holy Spirit gave me peace and said, yep, you know this is Me. Don't doubt. Just go ahead. Okay, I don't understand it all, but I'll do it. And when you start moving that way, that's faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Pleasing God, faith is moving at what God's told you. And it takes faith to move at what God says. Because it's not always what we want. Not usually. Spirit bade me go, nothing doubting. Verse 12. And the Spirit bade me go, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me. You see, there's witnesses. We need to listen to others, what they believe God has told them. We need to do things together. Not lone wolf. Now go to verse 15. As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. As Peter moved in faith, as he moved at what God said, the Holy Ghost fell. He bore witness. He came and showed up. And it was obvious that God was moving because it was only what he could do. All of a sudden, these men who are not Jews, the Jews are there, you know, Dave shows up, he's got six other guys with him, Lloyd and Daniel, and they're all with him, and Dave starts speaking at what God wanted him to say, and those of us who weren't Jews that were there listening, all of a sudden the same thing happened to us that happened to you as a Jew, but we weren't Jews, and what happened to us was, as we believed on Jesus, we began to glorify God, and it came out in other tongues. We began speaking in other tongues. It was like we were baptized with the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, our lives were different. On them as on us. What happens in other people's lives, you will watch the same fruit happen in other people's lives that happened in your life. The same fruit. The same evidence. God's going to do the same thing, but it's not always going to look the same. But it'll end up being the same fruit. It'll be fruit that glorifies Jesus. It'll be fruit that brings people to truth. It'll be light. It won't be something you have to doubt or wonder about. It'll be God. And then in verse 16, then remembered I the word of the Lord. Peter had spent time with God. Turn over to John 14:26. Please. You see, Don was given testimony earlier about that key that he found. Well, God's not only the holy reminderer in this verse, He also gave Don divine forgetfulness. He had Don forget about the key long enough so God could do His work, and then He reminded him at the right time. But Don thought he did something wrong, and God said, nope. When you get to heaven, you can check out the video. See, I did it exactly the way I wanted, because timing is as important as truth. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in the name of Jesus, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever Jesus has said unto you. In back in our text, Acts 11:16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord. The Holy Spirit brought back to his mind God's word, what God had said to him, what he had heard from God. He brought it back and he goes, oh, it's just like the Bible said, but now I get it. Look at it. It just happened because it was God. How do you know God's will? You pray. God's gonna show up. He's going to speak to you. He's going to communicate to you. You're going to consider what He says. As you consider what He says, then He's going to confirm it. Because you're going to go, okay, I'm thinking about it, but is that really God? And then He's going to confirm it. And then circumstances, when you begin to move in what God gave you, circumstances, you're going to watch them come together. When you yield to His will instead of yours, you're going to watch circumstances come together. And then you're going to have peace. The Holy Spirit's going to give you peace. And you're not going to have doubt. And then you're going to see the same thing happen in other people's lives in that situation that's going to bear witness with what's happened in your life and others that you've heard of. The same thing. What if we sent you somewhere and you were going to start a church and you go, well, man, I don't have any money. And, you know, I've only got like $150 a month support here. You know, how am I going to make it? Well, now I remember when Brother Harvey did that with Sue back in 1987. And they left Michigan and there were seven of them. There's only two of us. But there were seven of them. They only had $150 a month support. But God showed up. They never went without food. Now, they felt like they were. But God showed up. See, same thing happens to us that happened to others. Do you understand? It's like God's going to bear witness. You're going to know it in here. And then you're going to remember the word of the Lord. And it's going to make you trust in Him more. They recognized God as Lord in verse 17 to 18. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as He did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. They recognized God as Lord, the Almighty and All-Knowing One, the One in control. And then they said, what was I? They acknowledged self. They recognized and admitted their place before God. That's what Peter did. He recognized and admitted his place because he said, hey, I'm just the creation. He's the creator. And he says, what am I going to do? Fight God? He said, this whole thing is happening. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm a Jew. They're not Jews. God's doing this. I don't even know what I'm here. This goes against everything I've been taught all my life, but I'm following God and I've got peace and it's all working out. And everything's coming together. And the same thing's happening to them, happening to us. He says, what was I going to do? Fight God? And then others, the hearers, when they then realize their place, they publicly acknowledge God's place as both sovereign and supreme. They held their peace by agreeing with the truth. They didn't go into confusion and wonder. They came into agreement publicly with a new thing God was now doing. God is getting ready to do a new thing here. are we going to come into agreement with what God wants? Are we going to come into agreement with what God wants for our life? Is He going to be the Lord of our life or not? You see, it's not always going to be the way we think. It's not always going to be the way we think. But who are we following? See, I just want to follow Him. That's all I want to do. I just want to follow Him and give Him whatever He wants. I just want to get everybody to Jesus. A newcomer, whatever it takes, somebody taking a year, I don't care. Somebody I've been dealing with since they were a little sycophants. Now they're getting to be an older sycophants. But it's about following Him. It's about honoring Jesus. It's about giving Him what He wants. It's about walking. He's the God of peace. He wants you to have peace. He's not looking for you necessarily to be happy. Jesus wasn't happy. I'm dying on a tree. Isn't it? You know? It's not about being happy. But it's about being like Him. Because how can we have fellowship with Him unless we're like Him? You can't hang out. It doesn't work to hang out with somebody who's not like you. Sue and I are not a lot alike. We're a lot not alike. A whole lot not alike. But what we have in common is we both love the Lord and want to give Him whatever He wants. That's what we have in common. I love her to pieces. But I give her a lot of space because she's completely different than me. What she wants to do with her time is completely different than what I want to do with my time. I don't understand why she can't get into hunting. Doesn't make any sense to me. You know, doesn't make sense to me at all. What is this drawing stuff? What is this cutting stuff up and all this artsy stuff? I'm not into that. That's just, you know, let's go kill a deer, you know? Let's gut the dude, you know? Like, that's what I'm into. Like, come on. You know what I'm saying? God is looking for us to become like His Son. God is working circumstances in our life. The hard things that we're going through right now. Because God is wanting us to learn to trust in Him, not in ourselves. God is wanting us to yield to His Lordship. For Him to be in control. For us to trust Him. No matter what we see, think, or feel. Or what others say. But everybody says, what does that matter? God's right. Everybody else is wrong. Except in the places where God says they're in agreement with Him. Everybody thinks they're in agreement with God. Everybody thinks they're right. Well, I'm right. It was a shock when I came to the knowledge that I wasn't always right. I thought I was. I wondered why the rest of y'all couldn't get it. And then God helped me to figure out, He's right. I'm not. So what do you want, Lord? Not my will, but Thine. You want to know God's will for your life. 7 points. Go look them up. Go meditate on them. Ask God to open it up. Ask God to put those cookies down on the bottom shelf. Because God wants you to know His will. God has a plan for your life. A plan for your life. He is not the God that you can just ask to come and bless what you're doing. You can ask Him, but you need to find out what He created you for, what His plans are for you, because that's what He's going to bless. And when we surrender to that, we're going to be more fulfilled. We're looking to be happy, but happiness happens, and joy is eternal. And you only have joy with Jesus. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That's how you have joy. When you're looking to just focus on self, We were just around some kids that were focused on self. Miserable kids made everybody else around them miserable. Self-focus. You follow what I'm saying? It's about Him. What do you want, Father? What do you want, Jesus? You love me. You gave yourself for me. Here, what do you want? He said, all I want is you. All I want is you. Hang out with you. He said, that's all I want. I want your time. I want your focus. I want you. It's about knowing God's will. We're getting ready to enter into something. It's going to be an adventure. We're getting ready to enter into something that's going to be an adventure. Somebody else just got married. It's going to be an adventure. Honeymoon is one thing. Marriage is completely different. It's going to be an adventure. Relationship is the hardest thing you'll do. God's getting ready to bring us into something in very short order. It's going to be an adventure. Lord, what do you want? We can tell Him what we want. We can say what we want. We can stomp our little feet. But when we're done, what do you want, Lord? And when we give Him what He wants, it works. Does that make sense?